Here's a question. Do you realize and do you believe that God wants well-being for you? He wants it to be well with you. That's His heart. That's the heart of our Boaz. He wants it to be well with us. He wants us to live under the faucet of His favor. He wants us to know security, rest on the inside. He wants the turmoil of our inner life to come to an end. Do you hear me?
Amen.
And it's really important that you ask yourself this question. Do you believe that God wants it to be well with you? Do you believe that the turmoil in your inner life can come to an end? That God can really bring rest into your soul? Because you see, the truth is that many of us believe that in some kind of ethereal way that God wants to bless, but He can't bless me. And God wants it to be well with His people, but I've gone run beyond the past and the point of no return. That God wants me to experience the end of turmoil in my heart and in my mind. But I can't have it. And see, that's the great lie of the enemy. That's what's so remarkable about this scripture is that Naomi's saying to her, it's been good that you've become, you started at the lowest point as a gleaner. And now you're a reaper and a maid in his house. And you've been with him and around him for these 7 weeks. And you've known his kindness. So that's how the Lord is. When we're really ready to do business with him, he just lets us hang around with our rags. And he just shows us kindness and blessing and loves on us. You hear me?
Amen.
But there comes a point when we have to be ready to put off the rags and wash ourselves and put on our best clothes, the clothes of hope, and find ourselves and make our way. See, Boaz would have always been ready. He was a redeemer. He was prepared. He was willing. He was able to redeem the whole situation. All the loss had been suffered because of her past. All this, the loss that we've suffered occasioned by our sin. But you see, she had to ask.
Amen.
She had to want it. And we can walk around the rags of our self-pity and self-condemnation and the whisperings of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren forever and ever. But there comes a point where we have to hear the Holy Spirit convince us of our belovedness. Let the Holy Spirit convince the broken, desperate, repentant soul that the feet of Jesus, not only can you be forgiven, but He can redeem it all.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And we talked about this a few weeks ago from Luke 22, the remarkable passage of Scripture, where no matter what time of day they showed up in the vineyard, He gave them all the same wage. And it's not fair. It's just the kindness of our Redeemer. And it was such a wonderful thing to know that even if it's at the 11th hour, even if you're 95 years old and you've spent years wasting your time in rags, that at 95 you can come and lay at the feet of Boaz and whatever time you have left, you can know the highest level of favor that He ever intended for you to have.
Amen.
Is it sad that we wasted time? Yes. But you see, I can't do anything about that now. What I can do is find that man. Find that threshing floor. And find that man. And uncover his feet. And ask for him to redeem it all. That I can do. This is what's happening here. Like Naomi's like the voice of the Holy Spirit convincing this desperate, repentant soul that the loss and poverty that she is experiencing. Because hear this again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Naomi and Ruth only qualified for redemption because they had suffered so much loss. Now, I don't understand that. Are you saying to me, Chuck, that therefore go out and lose all you can so you can be redeemed? No. Because there are wasted years in his vineyard that you could have experienced. That's crazy. And there are losses that you have, that some losses that are there, they're gone. But he can redeem it all and restore for the ultimate good. You can know the highest level of favor from here on out. And the very fact, it's one of those God incidences. Those God coincidences that the thief on the cross, Dismas, just happened to be crucified with that guy. Now, did God want that guy to be a thief all of his life? No. But being a thief, he ended up just at the right place at the right time to go to paradise. And don't ever let the devil tell you that where you've been disqualifies you for future favor. You may have suffered loss. She suffered the loss of her husband, Malan. They suffered loss. Chilion died. Limelech died. But there was a Boaz waiting.
Amen.
That's the miracle of it all. Now hear me. And hear me really clear. So hear the whole thing I'm about to say to you. This is the wonder. Now hear the whole thing, everybody. So amen me at the end. And I'll point when it's the end. The wonder of the Song of Solomon, that scripture, I'm dark but lovely, is for a broken and repentant person. Just before that, she said, draw me after you and we will run together.
Amen.
It's for a repentant, broken soul that we celebrate the fact that there's still the offer to run with Jesus. Grace is never, ever about, well, I have grace and He loves me, so I'm just going to run around and sin all I want to because He loves me anyway. I don't want Him just to love me. I want to live my life at the cutting edge of His purposes. And if all we ever do is run around celebrating grace in light of the fact that He loves us, there's not much He can do with us but love us, which is not bad.
Amen.
But I want to run with Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
I want to run with Him. I want to be involved in what He's involved with. I want to know the highest level of favor that I can know. You with me? That's what that scripture's about. That's what this is about. Is that when He convinces me of my belovedness, and that He convinces this broken, poor in spirit, repentant heart, that there's redemption for you. Did you hear what I said? You hear the prerequisite? You hear the qualification that has to happen? A repentant, broken, and desperate heart for God. That's the one which He will then take all the loss occasioned by your sin and your mistakes and your goofing up, and in the long haul, restore it all for your ultimate good and His glory. But the key is a desperate, repentant heart. Let me just say this to you. Grace is one of the great things in this world we celebrate. Grace doesn't produce spiritual silliness. There is nothing more serious than the grace of God.
Amen.
And what you have to understand, four different times in this chapter, this all happens where? At the feet of Jesus, in this posture of repentance. But where did that happen? Just anywhere? No. It happened at the threshing floor. That's where restoration occurs. We sang about restoration this morning. That's where redemption occurs. That's where life is turned around occurs. That's where hope is restored. That's where God causes it all to work together for good. That's where God restores all that's lost by the things we've done. It's there that we find the wonder. On the threshing floor. What happens in the threshing floor? That's where chaff and dirt is separated from wheat. That's where God deals with us. That's where we're transparent before Him. You can't get much more transparent than laying on the floor in somebody's feet. That's where we become Mary's, not just Martha's. It's an interesting thing about John chapter 11. Martha came out to meet Him after their brother had died. And Jesus gave her this answer about resurrection. But when Mary came to meet Him, this one who was always at His feet, He wept and He was moved to resurrection. It's the people who find themselves at the feet of Jesus. They're the ones who get to celebrate the grace of God. It's this amazing thing that we come to realize that this miracle that somehow, some way, the very thing that I either did or contributed to, that I thought would rob me of the abundance God has for me, and I fear that that would cause me to forfeit it forever, becomes the very thing that positions me to know the abundance He's always had for me. But it's only true for the repentant heart who's at the threshing floor. And you know what they did in the threshing floor? Because people are afraid of, again, we talk repentance. What do you mean, if I get open with God and it's going to be painful? I guess it's painful like getting an abscess tooth pulled. You know what they did in the threshing floor? When it all got done, they partied big time. They had this huge celebration because of the dirt and the chaff have been separated from the wheat. And now the wheat could be used the way it was intended to be used.